What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for three seasons now. This is our first, now going on second year with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. And today we're going to talk about some notable news from the Chargers. We have news that Denzel Perryman is in talks with getting re-signed right now with the Chargers front office. We have Eric Williams saying that the Chargers should re-sign Jason Verrett, which is something that we know doesn't make Charger fans very happy with his, you know, lack of playing time the last couple of years. And then we're going to move into Eric Weddle being cut. He's obviously a big Chargers favorite before he had the falling out with the organization and has gone on to really badmouth the organization. So talk about him getting cut, the chances of him coming back to the Chargers. Spoiler alert, not very good. And then we're going to get into the last segment where we're going to be talking about some of the guys we've talked about previously who have gotten re-signed to the teams that they're already on, kind of setting the market value for some of those positions, and also talk about the guys that got franchise tagged or didn't get franchise tagged, what we were expecting from those guys, and if the Chargers should possibly target any of them. So let's go ahead and get into it, guys. The Chargers' first real news coming out of their offseason on guys they're going to re-sign, and that was Ian Rapoport reporting that the Chargers are in talks with Denzel Perryman to bring him back to the team in 2019. He was a guy we talked about when we were talking about all of the Chargers' impending free agents. And we all said, you know, hey, he is a good run stopper, but it is hard to bring back a guy that can't really stay on the field, David. And now the Chargers look like they're trying to bring him back. What were you thinking when you saw that?
I was thinking that I wasn't really surprised. I mean, I kind of, you know, from all the rumblings and things that I've read and have indicated that the Chargers were interested in bringing him back. So my only concern is, I'm sure, you know, you guys share this same concern, is how much money are they going to give him? I mean, the Chargers cannot afford to give Denzel Perryman another Butler-esque contract just because simply he hasn't deserved that type of money. So it's got to be reasonable, and that's what I'm a little suspicious about.
Yeah, I think the numbers are really what it comes down to. Is it going to be, you know, an incentive-laden contract like we've seen with other guys where his playing time is going to be how he makes his money, whether or not it's his production or just being able to stay on the field? John, any reservations about the Chargers potentially re-signing Denzel Perryman?
I would like for them to re-sign him, but as you guys mentioned, the contract is a big question. I would like to have something along the lines of, if you can play, say, 13 out of the 16 games or something like that, you get a bonus or something like that. You know, something where he gets a bonus for more games played, to see if that can help him stay healthier, if it motivates him more, something that will make him want to stay healthier. And if he doesn't stay healthy, then you have a cheap contract with incentives that were not reached, so you end up saving money.
Yeah, and I think the main difference between this and the Donald Butler contract that you mentioned before, David, is just the fact that when Donald Butler was a free agent, he was coming off of a very good season. You were trying to retain a guy who did really well for you, and in this scenario, you're trying to sign Denzel Perryman when he's kind of at his lowest. I don't know if he would attract a very big offer out on the open market, but at the same time, hey, the fact that the Chargers are trying to get this guy before he hits that, I think tells you their importance of bringing him back. But John, does that worry you at all that these talks are not about Adrian Phillips, but they're about guys like Denzel Perryman and even Jason Verrett?
It worries me that we're trying to get Jason Verrett and not Adrian Phillips, but Denzel Perryman, I think, should be involved in the same talks as Adrian Phillips. Just, we're going to be talking different kind of contracts here. Adrian Phillips is probably going to be a guy looking for a lot of money, so he's probably going to take a lot more time to get a contract done with, because he's probably going to hear offers from other teams, whereas Perryman is going to be more of, can you agree to, hey, we're going to give you less money, but if you can do this, like play 13 games out of the 16 games, we'll give you extra money on top of that, which is a little bit easier to negotiate. But as far as Adrian Phillips goes, I'm not surprised that it's taking longer, because he's probably going to be wanting a little bit higher contract, and that takes a lot more to negotiate, especially when it comes to guaranteed money and stuff like that, just in case it was a one-hit wonder type of year, or he gets hurt and he can never be himself again, he has that guaranteed money.
Well, the thing that interests me, John, about Adrian Phillips is I think the Chargers are almost lucky in a sense that there are so many safeties on the open market. I mean, it's ridiculous. We were talking about before the Le'Veon Bell tweet where he's trying to recruit Earl Thomas, Eric Weddle, Landon Collins, and Tyrann Mathieu and just saying, hey, where should we all go type of thing. But that safety list, the free agent safeties, gets longer by the day, seemingly, with Eric Weddle being cut, with the Giants not franchising Landon Collins. I don't know if it's a good market for Adrian Phillips to be out there because all of those guys are prototypical safeties, but it would make me feel a little bit better if I saw the Chargers engaging with some talks with Adrian Phillips at this time because he's one of the highest guys on our list of guys we want to bring back. So it worries me a little bit that we haven't heard, you know, hey, the Chargers are trying to get something done with Adrian Phillips, because the flip side of all of these other safeties being on the market is not many of them are going to produce the kind of value that Adrian Phillips brings. And that, as far as, he's not going to be a huge contract. He's very versatile. He can play a lot of different positions and has played those positions. So he could be one of the few very reasonable guys that could sign in the safety market, which would make him very valuable and maybe high up on the list of other teams' targets to bring in this season.
And it would be in line with Tom Telesco's philosophy of drafting and bringing in and rewarding their own guys. And I know that Adrian Phillips is an undrafted free agent, but, you know, I would think he'd be considered by Tom Telesco and the Chargers to be a homegrown Charger. So if he's going to stick to his philosophy of rewarding his guys, then I expect him to want to get a contract done with Adrian Phillips and Denzel Perryman.
That's a great point. And especially in Denzel Perryman's case, I think he wants to come back and show that he's not a bust and that he can stay on the field. I mean, he's missed 20 games the past three seasons. I think he wants to make that right. And, you know, maybe Adrian Phillips wants to reward a team that, even when he wasn't playing well, kept bringing him back and kept seeing something in him. But the other guy we're talking about, who is very sure of himself and was a great player when he was on the field, but had an even more extensive injury history than Denzel Perryman, is Jason Verrett. And Eric Williams posted an article on ESPN basically saying the Chargers should re-sign Jason Verrett because he was injured so much. You could sign him for very cheap. You could put incentives in there. You could have clauses in there where he could not cost you very much money. And, David, the fact that you got torched by Julian Edelman in the divisional round of the playoffs, and he is a guy that is kind of unique in the fact that if he could play in those games, he'd probably make a difference against a guy like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no question about Jason Verrett's ability when he's on the football field. He is a rare athlete when he's healthy. He has great quickness, incredible tenacity, and his size doesn't matter because he plays bigger than he is. But the problem with Jason, as has been well documented, is he can't stay on the football field. He has had a very big problem being available. You have to go back to the old adage that availability is one of the best abilities. And unfortunately, in Jason Verrett's case, he has not been very available. So for me to be any type of interested in bringing Jason Verrett back, it would be a highly incentive-laden, low-money guarantee type of deal. Because for me, it's, hey, you want money? Go out and earn it. Go play and earn the incentives that are going to be built into your contract. After you do that, then maybe we can, you know, come back to the table and think about doing something long term. If he's not interested in that type of deal, then I have no interest in bringing him back.
Yeah, and you know that this coaching staff and more the front office has an affinity for Jason Verrett. In the article, it talks about Tom Telesco having a jersey of Jason Verrett in his office because he's been such a leader and such a well-liked guy in the locker room. John, what are your expectations? Do you think the Chargers will bring him back? Is it starting to seem to me more and more likely?
Yeah, it is starting to look like they're going to bring him back. I really hope they don't, but knowing the Chargers and how they like to stick with players that they think have potential, as we've seen many times the past few years, there's probably a good chance it could happen unless Jason Verrett's getting cocky at the table with he wants a lot more than what he deserves. But let's be honest here. This guy hasn't played in almost 2 years, is even going to be the same guy we remember from before? And he's had to rest and rehab so many times. Like, how are you still at that elite level?
It's a great point.
Yeah, I mean, when you miss 25 out of a possible 80 games in your 5 years in the NFL, it's hard to know what you're going to get when that guy gets back, because at a certain point, these injuries have to take a toll and, you know, suck some of that elite athleticism and quickness that he had. But it's impossible to know because we just haven't seen him. But I think we all know the parameters in which we're comfortable with bringing him back if they were to, and to have us not be completely irate. I mean, if he gets a 3-year, $12 million deal, I think even that would kind of send us through the roof, because it's just like, how could you do that, you know, and put that much money into a guy that can't stay on the field? But hey, it's a possibility. And we all know that if he was out there, he would make a big difference, and it lets you have some versatility. You know, maybe you put Desmond King back at free safety and that solves a different issue. Maybe he can play there, but it's just too hard to tell at the moment. But it looks like, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. So I absolutely think there's a chance they try to re-sign Jason Verrett. But I do want to get into Eric Weddle, because he's another guy who seems like he'd be an obvious fit from the outside looking in, and the Chargers who need another safety, and other guys who got cut coming up in the next segment. All right, guys, let's talk about some of the cuts from around the league. And obviously the first and most current one that's a big name in Chargers news has to be Eric Weddle, who after 3 years on the Ravens finds himself cut and back on the open market with the rest of the safety class seemingly. And I know a lot of Chargers fans, he was their favorite player for a long time, especially those who followed the Chargers when they were in San Diego. And they had a very notable, very public falling out, and which has led to Eric Weddle, you know, saying, you know, bad things about the Chargers and not being afraid to kind of put his name on, hey, I'm not coming back to the Chargers. I would never. That organization is basically dead to me, are all sentiments that Eric Weddle has shared before, which is why it was kind of, you know, payback almost when the Chargers took down the Ravens in the playoffs last year. You had everyone, you know, eating ice cream, because that was what Eric Weddle said after his win, and then the Chargers got their revenge in the playoffs. So, David, I think I know the answer here, but is there any scenario you think the Chargers would bring back Eric Weddle?
None whatsoever. Unfortunately, that bridge is broken. It's not going to get repaired. There's too much bad blood between Eric Weddle and the ownership, and I don't foresee that changing. So, unfortunately, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there that love Eric Weddle, but he is not going to come back.
I just don't see any possible way that it happens. Even though, John, if they could get him, it would be a great fit. I mean, to have him, you know, maybe on a short-term contract to play alongside Derwin James and mentor him and have those people on your back end, you couldn't feel much safer than that, having those guys kind of running your defense from the back up. But it would be a good fit. That's the frustrating part.
It would be a great fit. If you had the brain of Eric Weddle with how well he is at reading the offense, making adjustments, it's like the Phillip Rivers, Peyton Manning type of safety. They know how to make those audibles and those adjustments. And to have that on our defense along with the athleticism of Derwin James and have both of those guys be your safeties, there's no telling what else we could do with the rest of this secondary. All you got to do is make sure Jaleel Adai is just on the sideline sipping Gatorade and eating whatever's left of Eric Weddle's ice cream. But as you mentioned, there's no way that's going to happen as long as Spanos is in there. So unless the Spanos family all somehow are gone mysteriously, wink, wink, and Mark Cuban buys the Chargers and signs Weddle, there's no way.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's probably the case. But, you know, in some outside universe somewhere that there is a defense that has, you know, Casey Hayward, Desmond King, and Jason Verrett with Eric Weddle and Derwin James as the other two defensive backs, which would
with
just be
Boza and Ingram rushing the passer, obviously. And somehow a star defensive tackle.
Yeah, even in this scenario, the Chargers would not have a great defensive tackle. But it is something to definitely talk about, just because I know there are some people that, you know, say, it's a fit. You know, the Chargers could do it. He's getting older, but there's one thing he doesn't do is, you know, be in the wrong place. He gets everybody lined up, and he's invaluable in that aspect. And he has been more of a strong safety these last couple of years. But, I mean, between him and Derwin James, you could just have them flip-flop whenever. I mean, you could have either one of them play free safety, either one of them play strong safety on any given play, which would just be ridiculous to think about. But, unfortunately, it's not going to happen. So, I do want to talk about some of the other guys that have been cut recently that the Chargers, you know, may or may not have interest in. Most of these guys, hey, if you're getting cut, it's for a reason. A lot of times it's contract issues, you know, people getting paid way too much, like it was in the case of Jamie Collins, who was just cut from the Cleveland Browns. I think he was due to make something like $9 million this year and $13 million next year, which is just absolutely ridiculous. And obviously he doesn't deserve that or hasn't earned that with his play on the Browns. He's never really been the same player, but he was cut. So was Alex Collins, the running back from the Ravens, Dwayne Allen, the tight end from the Patriots, and Darian Stewart, the safety from the Broncos. John, when I say any of those names, do any of those names stick out to you as a guy the Chargers could possibly buy low on?
I want to say maybe Dwayne Allen, but it goes to my philosophy of he's a former Patriot. Is he going to be a decent tight end still, or is he just a system tight end? Because a lot of guys from the Patriots, Jamie Collins, as you mentioned, once they leave the Patriots, they're not the same guy that they were before. And Jamie Collins is a great example of it. There's so many guys in the league right now, like Malcolm Butler, who are a great example of it. That's the one guy that I would think maybe you could take a risk on so that you could have your four tight ends, so you have some passing and some run blocking, and not have to rely on Virgil Green to convert your third downs like you had to last year. But other than that, I don't really see any of these other guys being a great fit for the team. I feel like you can get better options in free agency than those guys.
Yeah, there probably are. And I think Dwayne Allen would make the most sense just because, you know, he's a guy that has produced. And, John, it wasn't only with the Patriots. I think he was honestly better when he was a Colt, you know, when he was paired up with Andrew Luck. He put up some pretty good numbers, mainly in the red zone. That's really where he's a big target that you could find. I don't necessarily think that he would be worth what he's probably going to sign for, so it probably is not going to happen.
I saw on this website called SpotTrack that he supposedly could be worth like $2.75 to $3.3 million, like a three-year, $9 million deal, somewhere around there.
Which doesn't seem like that much, and that's, you know, what they think that he could be worth. But that's the thing, though, is you're worth what the market says you're worth. So somebody might be willing to overpay him, and you don't want to get into a bidding war over a guy like Dwayne Allen that really is not going to be the tipping point of your season. I would much rather have a young guy that you can come in and groom and develop behind these guys who's going to be on a very cheap rookie contract that you can just have for those next 4 years and hope by the time, you know, you have to re-sign Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates is gone, that's a guy that can kind of take over in their shoes. But the other guys, Alex Collins is really a one cut, not a threat out of the backfield, get up and go type of running back. He's a hard runner. He had more success in 2017 with the Ravens, where he seemed like he was very hard to take down. And I don't necessarily dismiss the fact that the Chargers might be able to use a guy. They have a lot of use a guy with that skill set where you can just hand it to him and, you know, get 4 or 5 yards and a cloud of dust, David. But if he's not a guy that's going to produce anything out of the backfield, his pass blocking hasn't been the best. I don't know if he's necessarily a fit for what the Chargers have going on, but he would be very cheap.
Yeah, he would be cheap. I mean, I know that John's always been harping for a big body bruising type of running back. So I'll ask you, John, do you have any interest in bringing in Mr. Collins to be that type of running back?
He would definitely be cheap, and he is the kind of running back that I would like to get. But he's also been into some crime issues lately, which is why he got cut by the Ravens. His contract, I think, with the Ravens was around $630,000. So this definitely wasn't a money issue type thing.
Right.
But he was arrested after a car crash, and he was found with weed and stuff like that. So if this is a guy that's going to have off-the-field issues, then you might be the type of running back I'm looking for, but I don't need you to be in jail constantly, not giving me that hard running style, except for running hard into the bars of a prison.
Yeah, I mean, between the off-the-field concerns and then him losing his job to Gus Edwards last season, it was not the best 2018 for Alex Collins. But I do think that, you know, he fills a certain role, that one cut, get up the field and go, was a very different type of running style in Baltimore that the Chargers run. But it is someone. And then Jamie Collins, I mean, has just been playing bad in Cleveland the last couple of years. I don't know if it would be worth kicking the tires on a guy like that. I think 2 years ago, he put up a 42.5 grade on Pro Football Focus, which, you know, as we compare it to here, is worse than Dan Feeney. So we try to stay away from guys like that. But I do want to get into some of the guys we talked about before who have been franchise tagged and some other guys who got re-signed and kind of set the market for their position coming up right after this. All right, guys, we talked about the Chargers re-signing some of their own guys and some other teams who have cut players from their team the Chargers could target. And now it's time to talk about some guys we've talked about previously that have either been franchise tagged, didn't get franchise tagged, or re-signed with the teams they were on in 2018. So we'll start with the guys who got franchise tagged. Notable guys are Grady Jarrett, Jadeveon Clowney, D. Ford, which obviously means something when the Chiefs are in your division and the guys put up double-digit sacks. Grady Jarrett was a long shot for the Chargers. I know we would have loved to bring him in here, David, but, I mean, it's not a big surprise that he got franchise tagged. And all both of those other two guys, even if they hit the open market, they're going for contracts the Chargers just don't have money for.
Grady Jarrett was definitely a long shot. Obviously, that's the in a perfect world, if you could get somebody who you know you could plug and play and make an immediate impact, and you know he was actually available to get, that's a guy you would absolutely love to have. But we all knew, and we prefaced it when we even talked about it, that getting him and bringing him in without him being franchise tagged was something that was more like slim to none.
Yeah, and I mean, Jadeveon Clowney and D. Ford, I mean, those teams, you almost have to franchise tag those guys because of the production they've been able to put up. And, I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, it's just that type of physical specimen and, you know, production these last couple of seasons. You can't let that walk out if you have any option. Even though John D. Ford has seemingly been put on the trading block, they are listening to offers on D. Ford. I think they know that they can't retain him once he's done being franchise tagged. So I think, you know, they might be trying to pull a Patriots where it's like, he's on our team for this year, but we'll give him to you for, you know, a third round pick, because we know he's not going to sign with us long term.
Which is a smart move, and it's something the Chargers need to start to look at doing every now and then, because maybe we could have got something for Jason Verrett before he tore his Achilles. But if he's on the block and it's a reasonable draft pick, it's defensive line help, which we need a lot of, it might be worth it. You have a guy that's proven to be a defensive line guy that's pretty good, even though he has had some injury issues. He has missed games the past couple of years. Not as many as some other guys we've talked about, but he has had injury issues. But if he's proven that he's a force to be reckoned with. So if you can get him for like a fourth round pick, third round pick, whatever, that might be the guy that you go after compared to a Josh Rosen.
Yeah, the biggest difference being that, you know, D. Ford is going to make a ridiculous amount with that franchise tag. He's probably going to make almost what the Chargers have available in cap space by himself, you know, getting paid the average of the three top highest paid players at his position. So I don't think he's an option, but, you know, I would be happy to get him out of the AFC West if that is at all possible. Justin Houston, I'll see you later, too. I've had enough nightmares of those guys getting after the quarterback. So if both of them could go elsewhere, hopefully, you know, even the NFC, that would be great. But, John, I do want to talk about Landon Collins and him not getting franchise tagged. I know a lot of Giants fans are very upset about that, and I understand why. You have a young safety who's been to three Pro Bowls, and now you're kind of just letting him walk out the door without really trying to retain him. We talked about him in the safety show as, you know, not the best fit for the Chargers, and also he's in the unique situation of being one of the youngest guys in a loaded safety class. And a guy that I think most teams think could be a starting safety for the next, you know, 7-8 years, I think his contract is going to be absolutely ridiculous.
It might be at least the top five biggest contract you're going to see outside of the franchise tags.
Yeah.
This during this free agent signing. So Good luck getting him, Chargers. But it's just amazing how the Giants just let him go. Not even try. He's young. He's been proven everything. And the problem with the Giants is they don't have much of an offensive line to protect Eli. And they're seeing this as, well, if we let Collins go, what, that's about going to fix the O-line? Or what, you're going to lose a proven defensive leader and become even worse of a team? The Giants are getting lost right now. I'm in a Giants Facebook group. I used to follow Calvin Munson. I'm just too lazy to leave the group. But when Calvin Munson's on the Giants, I used to follow the group just for the hell of it. And those guys are mad. They are going off. My news feed on Facebook is literally people going, why did we let 21 go? What is wrong with the Giants? And they're like blowing up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you just don't get guys with that kind of ceiling very often. And to let him go, you know, after a down year by his standards, I think is pretty rough. And I would understand why the fan base, especially for a first round pick, would be upset about that, because the guy has played, you know, very well for most of his career. I mean, three Pro Bowls. I think that kind of speaks for itself, even though we know it's a popularity contest and he plays in a big market. But I do want to quickly get into the guys that have re-signed. A couple guys we talked about in Marcus Hunt and Donovan Smith. In Donovan Smith's case, we said, don't do it. And now you see why, David, because Donovan Smith just signed a three-year, $41.5 million deal with the Buccaneers, and I have no idea how the hell that happened.
Well, first of all, congratulations to Donovan Smith's agent, because, man, he just got that guy a lot more money than his production showed us that he was worth. So, more power to him, and I am glad that he is off the table, because at that price and his production level, definitely not worth it.
And I think really the only reason he's getting that kind of money is because he's technically a left tackle, whether he's good or not. I mean, the left tackle position is always going to be a higher price than most other positions. It's one of the most important positions on the field. John, that blind spot on the left side for quarterbacks, and teams are always going to be putting a lot of money into their left tackle. But between him and then Marcus Hunt signing a two-year, $10 million deal, that's the one that upset me more. But are you upset that the Chargers weren't able to get in and talks with either of these guys?
Not really. I mean, if they're going to make that much money, then there was other guys we talked about we can get for cheaper that are actually more productive than these guys probably as well. So, for example, with Donovan Smith, if you're going to get a guy that's not worth the money and gets that much money, you're glad you didn't get into talks with him, because you would have took in higher pay no matter what. And if you somehow got into some negotiations and got a Robert Meacham type of deal, then you could already say goodbye to this upcoming season. And as you mentioned, that left tackle is a big, important part of the offensive line when you have a right-handed quarterback like we do. So you better make sure you're finding something that's worth it if you're going to pay that much money. If you get a guy that's just slightly above average for cheaper, it's better than what you're going to get for a guy that's average or slightly below average for a lot of money.
I 100% agree on Donovan Smith. The Marcus Hunt one bothers me a little bit more, just because, hey, I would have given that guy 2 years, $9 million and $1 million in incentives in a heartbeat. I think that's a contract that you could absolutely swallow, and something that you could create by cutting, you know, Jahlil Adai or Travis Benjamin. That's exactly basically what he signed for. So that one bothered me a little bit more, because he is a piece that I would have liked to see the Chargers maybe make a run at for the right price. And that is not a crazy deal. And then the other guy, Nick Boyle, just signed for a three-year, $18 million extension from the Ravens, basically, which kind of shows you what the tight ends are going for. We talked about Dwayne Allen a little bit before. I don't think he would get that kind of money at his age, but I mean, there's definitely a market out there for tight ends, and one I don't think that the Chargers are really going to be able to fit into with their salary cap situation. That's going to wrap things up for today's show, guys, but we will be back with you next week with more free agency talk, because free agency starts on the 13th, so it's coming up very soon now, and by then, who knows, Denzel Perryman, Jason Verrett, other guys on the Chargers could be re-signed, and other guys will be re-signed from other teams. to talk about. So we're excited to get into that next week. But until then, make sure you follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers so you can see live shows when we do them during the season. And also make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail account. If you want to get your voice on the show, tell us who you want us to re-sign. Tell us what your thoughts on things going on with the Chargers and throughout the league, and we'll play your voice on the show. And you can call that by calling, and you can reach that by calling 323-524-7924. We play every voicemail on the show, and we'd love to hear what you guys have to think. And also, guys, if you want to listen to the Locked On Chargers podcast on your way to work, it's super easy. When you get into your car, just tell your smart assistant, play podcast Locked On Chargers, and you have something perfect to listen to on your drive to work. But we will talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.